Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word of truth. We thank you that you speak to us by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that your church and the ministry of the church has not failed, and that nothing that we're doing is in vain, Lord, but that everything of your work is continuing and is accomplishing that which you've sent forth your word to do. We know that you're using us in this regard. Use us, Lord, we pray, in the name of Jesus, to spread your word and to show forth the name of the Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this evening we're coming to a question which is regarding the use of the word Jehovah in the King James Bible. And this area is very important because it is the name of God. And when we have the name of God given to us, we should see that it is a holy thing and that the Bible is true when it shows us what the name of the Lord is. We look in Proverbs chapter 30 and verses 4 to verse 6. What we find here is that a question is asked concerning what is the name of God. And we can answer this question through Scripture, because there is the revelation in Scripture of the message of God and what God's name is. So in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4, he asks, "Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell?" So he wants to know what is the name of God, and what is the name of the Son of God. And verse 5 shows us where we're going to find the answer. Proverbs 30 verse 5 shows us exactly where we go to find out the name of God and who this person is that has ascended, who has descended, who this person is who has power over creation, who this person is who has the rule and power over in the things of the earth. And it is, of course, God. And verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." And verse 6 says, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar." So we must have his exact and pure word. And every word in the Bible, every word of the King James Bible, we know is a pure word. And we can rely and trust on the word of God as presented to us, which has come now to the world in the English tongue. And what we see and find is that the answer to these questions, what is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell, the answer to those questions is by looking in the pure word. And of course, when we turn to Exodus chapter 6 verse 3, we find the name of God is revealed. Exodus chapter 6 verse 3. You're going to have a hard time if you're not using the King James Bible to find what the name of God is, because modern versions very often are places where there's a lot of corruption of the words of God. They've not got the pure words in them, and you'll find there's also an attack on the name of God. It's not revealed in those versions. And that's because they're really not presenting the word of God. They're presenting some of the words of God, but it's full of corruption and man's and even Satan's hand in it and through it. And so we see that the pure word is the place we find the true revelation in Exodus 6 verse 3. And God told Moses, he said, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." And what we see there in plain printed text is that word which is the name of God. It's in capital letters, Jehovah. And so that's the revelation of what God's name is. So if you want to know what God's name is, it's right there in the Bible. It tells us, "By my name Jehovah." Now we know that whilst God did not reveal himself particularly to Abraham or to Isaac, swore to Jacob using that name Jehovah in that particular revelation, or particular revelations to each of those men, we know that Abraham, for example, knew the name of God because he even called a place Jehovah Jireh. And we see that in Genesis chapter 22 verse 14. Genesis 22 and verse 14. It says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So we see there that Abraham certainly knew of this word, and he even called a place Jehovah Jireh. And it was said of this place, which is Mount Moriah, which is the same today we know is the Mount in Jerusalem, that same place, it was said at that time when Genesis was being written that in the Mount of the Lord it shall be seen, which is a prophecy which Moses wrote down there, which was looking forward to when there would be a revelation of Christ at Mount Moriah. And of course we know to this very day the full fulfillment of that prophecy has not yet come to pass, because Jesus Christ has not yet fully come as King of the earth on Mount Moriah. Nevertheless, he was at the temple in the past, because we know he threw out the money exchanges and so forth at the temple. But the full revelation is in the millennial reign of Christ. And so we know that this is God with us. So who is God's Son? We know that's Jesus. And if we look in Matthew 1 verse 21, we see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we remember that the person in Proverbs there was asking that question, what is his son's name? What is the name of the Son of God? And we know it's the name Jesus. We know who Jesus is. He's our Lord and Saviour. He's the Son of Jehovah. And Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 gives the revelation that the name of this child shall be called Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we see the word Jehovah. We saw that was in capital letters. We see the word Jesus here, the Son of Jehovah, the Son of God, is also given here in capital letters, showing it's his name in written form, Jesus. He is, as it says here, the one who shall save his people from their sins. Well, when we see the word Jehovah and we see the word Jesus, we notice that the letter J and the letter E are on both those words. And so if you ever look at the word Jehovah, you'll know then that when you see Jesus, you're seeing something that's related to that. You're seeing the word that's meaning Jehovah saves, which is the revelation of Jehovah, God's Son coming, Jesus Christ coming, and as the Saviour, Jesus is the Saviour revealing Jehovah saves. That's what his name actually literally means. And we can see that from the scripture. We can see he shall save his people from their sins. If we look in Psalm 83 verse 18, Psalm 83 verse 18, we find there that the psalmist shows that the name of the Lord is Jehovah, and that that name should be revealed. It's not a secret. Now there's some people who are into this area of Jewish fables, and they try to keep the name of God a secret. They want things to be kept hidden in a way. In fact, that's the agenda of Satan, to keep hidden things, true things, pure words. Satan doesn't want those things revealed. He doesn't want the name of the Lord revealed. And we'll see why in a moment. Psalm 83 verse 18 says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. So God is King. He is the reign, reigning Lord of the earth, over and above the satanic temporal kingdom that is set up at the moment with a god, a little g god, ruling it, the kingdom of darkness, and that of course is the operation of this present world which lieth in wickedness. But that's underneath and not over and above God Jehovah, who is the King, and Jesus Christ, who shall come on earth personally to reign in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ in the future. And that's going to happen. If we look in Romans chapter 10 verse 13, what we find is that the name of the Lord is very important for our salvation. You know, you need to know what the name of the Lord is in order to get born again. It's a funny thing to some, but it's true. You can't be like the people that Paul met up with who had an inscription to the unknown God. We must know, who is God? Who is He? And especially, we have to know the name of the Son of God, because it's that name that we're calling upon to be saved. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There you go. Now, that means calling upon the name of Jesus. And we know that Jesus means Jehovah saved. Jesus is God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, and that's in the Bible. God with us. And He is God who has saved us. So we see very clearly, and there's other scriptures to show how God has, with His precious blood, shed His blood for us and brought us into salvation. It's God who saved us. So we see very clearly that Jesus Christ is the member of the Godhead or the Trinity who came on earth to pay the price for us, and He is and was the representative of God the Father on earth to people. He's co-eternal and co-equal with God anyway. And also then Jesus has sent the Holy Ghost, who is with us today, who is testifying of Jesus. And Jesus Himself is showing the things of the Father. So the Holy Ghost today is here showing what is the name of God. It is Jehovah. What is the pure word that reveals this? It's present. We can look at it and see the name of Jehovah is revealed. Also, if we look in Malachi chapter 3 verse 16, it shows us that God acknowledges those that acknowledge His name. You make a decision to believe, I believe what the Bible says, that God's name is Jehovah, you're making the right decision. Because there's people around who, through false learning and preaching of false doctrines, try and change the name of Jehovah to a different name. They try and change the kind of God we have to a different kind of God. But Malachi chapter 3 verse 16 shows that God is thinking about those that are thinking about Him. God is remembering those that are remembering His name. And Malachi chapter 3 verse 16 says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." When we think about the name of the Lord, we think about who is God. That name represents who He is. Now there are, as I said before, there's Jewish fables, there's things that modern scholars, so-called scholars, are saying that's turning people away from the truth, that is, from what God's name is. And they might say, well, the word Jehovah is wrong for this and that reason, because our studies have shown this. But all their studies are nothing compared to plain and clear things that the Bible says, and the tradition of the Christian church. Protestant tradition itself shows very clearly what the name of the Lord is. You're not going to find something else in the Reformation of what God's name is. You'll find the name Jehovah is there in the Reformation. And that means when we go back to the time of the early church in the New Testament and what they knew, we can understand that, of course, they knew what the name of the Lord was, and it's not different to what we know today. But by one passing through history, by one tradition, by one spirit, we understand today the name of the Lord is Jehovah. Let's look at Isaiah 12 verse 2. Isaiah 12 verse 2. And here we'll see that there is power in this name. Isaiah 12 verse 2. And it says, Isaiah 12 verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." So the name of the Lord, there is strength associated with that. It's a powerful thing. Let's also look in Isaiah 26 verse 4. We'll see again, the name of the Lord is given again in Scripture. Isaiah 26 and verse 4. And it says, Isaiah 26 verse 4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So it didn't say in the Lord Baal, it didn't say in some other false god, it said in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He is the Lord. And we understand then that that's the one we should be looking to and trusting in. He is the Saviour. Jesus Christ, His Son, has come and saved us. If we look in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verses 1 to 3, Deuteronomy 32, and this is what Moses wrote in a prophecy. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verses 1 to 3. This links the word of God and the name of the Lord together. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." So right already we're seeing a picture here of there is a right doctrine. It is with the words of God going forward, producing growth, producing life. And verse 3 gives something that comes out of that. It says, "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God." Notice that he makes this declaration, and it's a declaration we should all make. We should all believe this. "I will publish the name of the Lord." As we're standing for the word of God, as we're walking in the Lord's word, we should see that one of the words in the Bible, it's mentioned several times, we've already looked at it, is the word Jehovah. And he said here, "I will publish the name of the Lord." We make a decision to publish, that is to proclaim, what is the name of God's Son? In whom is there salvation? In Jesus Christ. What is the name of God? Which name of God is the true name? Because there's people that say the name of God is this or that, or maybe Allah is God, or Baal is God, or whatever. But we see that the true name of God and who God truly is, the true God, is revealed in the pure word of God. And so we're standing for that word. It's a word of truth. So we understand the right God who has the power of salvation. Not a false or other God who doesn't have the same power. In fact, they're enemies of God, actually. They're evil spirits or other things which are set up by men and not of God. But we see here a direct contrast. It's either the Lord Jehovah or it's something else. And so we're making a decision for the Lord Jehovah. We're making a decision for His revelation, for His truth. Let's look in Psalm 68. And there are a few things in Psalm 68 that show there's a battle that goes on and is going on as concerning we're standing for the Word, the pure Word, and in that pure Word is God's true name, and we're standing for that, And there's a battle going on, but God's way is victorious. In other words, in time and through time, God has revealed His true name. God has kept His true word, and He's holding that word up. And in that word is the revelation of His name. And the true church is, of course, being built up by Jesus Christ and has that word in the church, and the church is the preserver or the agent that has kept the word of God in the earth. And the Holy Ghost is working in the church for that very reason, through the universal priesthood of believers. That means every one of us has a responsibility to look after God's word, to make sure it doesn't get corrupted, to make sure that every word in there stays in there, and especially the name of the Lord, that it be proclaimed. We want to proclaim Jesus. The name of Jesus is the name you have to call on to be saved. To be saved from the wrath to come. To be saved from the life of sin. To be saved so that the consequences of it, you don't have to suffer, because He's already done it for us. He's given us the life to be with God forever and saved from hell. If we see here in Psalm 68 verse 4, he says, "Sing unto God, sing praises to His name." So we see that God is the one we should be looking to, rejoicing in. He's our strength. "Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah, and rejoice before Him." So here we see again a revelation of a shortened form of the word of the name of God, and that's the word Jah, which has the letter J and A and H. And that shows to us a very important point, which is this, that the letter J is definitely the first letter of God's name, and it's revealed to us so in the English Bible. It's not a different letter, it's the letter J, and it's pronounced as the sound of J is in English. So we know that God's name is fully and completely being revealed to us by the Word of God, and that we're not calling on a different God. We're not calling on a Babylonian God, that is to say a false God. We're calling on the name of the true God with His true name, which is revealed in His true word, which we truly have in the true church today in truth. Let's also look a little further down the same psalm, because it's now linking this name of God with the battle that's going on. Psalm 68, verse 11, there's a warfare, and it's concerning what is God's word and the gospel going forward, so that people do know what the name of the Lord is and how can we be saved. Well, they have to be saved by hearing that word of God, and we read about that in Romans chapter 10. We also see it in Revelation chapter 10 as well, but in Romans chapter 10 what we see is, how shall they call upon Him? Or how can you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved except you hear the word preached? By the way, Revelation chapter 10 talks about the same thing. The person, the Apostle John, received the book, and that was a representative of the pure word, and then the instruction to him was to preach and to speak before nations, to speak the word. And that's, of course, a word that applies to us today. We must speak out this truth that we know. So in verse 11 it says, "The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it." God has given the word, the revelation of His name's in that word, and that word is to be published. Now, that word "publish" means both in the way we would speak it out, in the way we would live our lives and preach the gospel, so that's publishing glad tidings. But also "publish," of course, we know means in written form as well, such as books and through media. And we find that's very much available to us today as well. So publishing should be going on. We should be proclaiming the gospel, and we should be using such media technologies as we have available to us to preach the gospel and to speak to others and show the truth. And we all can have a part to play in doing this as well. And we all do. Let's also look in the next verse, because this shows us a warfare that's going on concerning the word going forward, the revelation of the true name of God, and there's those that are standing against it. Now, what happens to those enemies? What happens to those who are resisting the word? And you can apply this verse in various ways, such as there's satanic powers which are against the truth. There's also literal groups of people who are against the truth. And there's prophecies concerning future events which are of people who would fight against the truth. And this very day we see workings of their warfare. Who is to win this war? Verse 12 says, kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. What we find right there is a promise to us in verse 12 that the word should go forward that enemies should not be able to stand. They should not be able to stand against the word, but that in fact kings should even be converted to the gospel, as we can see in other portions of scripture, such as in the book of Revelation chapter 10 verse 11. So there's promises to us. Also in Isaiah 60 when he said, arise, shine. Well, that's talking about the true word and what should come. But nations should hear the word of God and know what the name of the Lord is for salvation. If we look in the book of Hosea chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17, I'll mention to you that there are people who, through false knowledge, through Jewish fables and through unbelief of the word of God, they say, well, that name Jehovah, that's not a right translation. They've got the sounds wrong in that word. They use the wrong vowels. They use the wrong letter E and the wrong letter A. They use the wrong sounds for those words, for the letters, sorry. They use the wrong sound for the first letter and so forth. And then they say, well, the name should really be something like Yahweh, not Jehovah. Well, we'll find, and if you ever did any study on what this Yahweh is, you'll see, and it's very plain in the minds of those people making these accusations who this Yahweh is, what they're really saying is, well, Moses actually took one of the Canaanite gods, who was called Yahu or Yahweh, and adopted him as the God of Israel, and so the real name of God today, the God of the Bible, is really Yahweh. And of course, that's really because you're really worshipping, which is what these people are accusing us of a Canaanite god or some god that was a god in Babylon, which is called Yahu. Well, this of course is completely a fabricated story and has nothing to do with the truth. They're only saying this because they're trying to make the God of the Bible some other pagan or heathen deity. If we look here in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 16, it's the prophet Hosea, and he says, and it's a prophecy about what God knows would happen in the future from that time, and it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali, which is another term for Baal or Baalin. Baalin. What we're seeing there, and verse 17, for I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. What we can see there is that God does not want to be called by the name of Baal or Baal. God does not want to be called by the name that is associated with a false god. And so there's a warfare going on because the enemy wants to make our God the same as a false god. He wants to get rid of the idea of calling upon the name of Jesus for salvation. So he'll change that as well, you see, because if you have the word Jehovah changed to Yahweh, invariably that would mean you'd have to change the word Jesus to the word Yeshua, or another such word like that, which means that then you're not calling upon the name of the Lord for salvation, but the name of a different Lord for a different experience, which means you're going away from what the Bible says. That's not what the pure word says. Every letter counts. You know, Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, that every word man should live by, and in Matthew chapter 5 verse 18, that every jot and every tittle is there and should be kept. So we know very clearly that we should not be changing letters or the way we pronounce words to make them completely other than what those letters say. You know, if it says the letter J, then we make the sound of the letter J as appropriate. And of course, the word Jehovah is pronounced in that proper and appropriate way according to Scripture. So what we are seeing is a battle between what the modernists and the unbelievers and satanically backed modern versions are doing as compared to those who would stand and stay with the pure word and those who would say, I believe God's word as it's been written, as it's passed down to me, and that in the future from this time, we should actually see that in prophecy coming to pass, that there would actually be a manifestation of God operating in history to destroy this whole idea of him having some other name and, shall I say, reinstating, although it wasn't lost, or in other words, proclaiming and showing and working out in a way to show that his name in fact is Jehovah. If you look with me in the book of Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 7, in a certain prophecy of a future event that hasn't happened yet, when Israel should be invaded by a northern confederacy, it shows that in this prophecy, in this time, which we can extrapolate, won't be very far away by looking at current world events. And if you want to find out about it, you can read in chapter 38, in Ezekiel 38, for example. It begins to show there who it is that's coming to Israel in this particular event. And in 39 and verse 7, God says in the prophecy, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. Implication, they have been polluting his holy name. How? By changing it, the pronunciations, by changing the meaning from meaning the God who is powerful and strong, the God who saves, changing it to being a different God, the God Baal, by pronouncing it and making it into the word Yeshua, or another such word, Yahweh, for God the Father, and so making their God into a different God and not the God of the Bible. And that is a whole wrong thing that God addresses. He says that when he would destroy this army that comes into Israel in a certain event in the near future, that at the same time he would reveal that he would have his holy name not polluted anymore. And verse 7 also says, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. That's, of course, showing that God would reveal his true name, as it has been revealed, and back it up and show that those people who were standing for a different name, whatever name that may be, and it would link to things like the false god Allah and things like that, and Baal, these names, or a name that links to those things, is not a name God wants, neither does he want any witness according to a false name for himself. But he's very jealous for his name. His name is holy, his name is right and true, and he wants us to declare and receive the declaration of his name. Let's look in John 17 verse 26. Now, we can find many passages in the Bible about the name of the Lord, how it's blessed, praised. But if we look in John 17 verse 26, we see here Jesus shows a thing about the name of God, which indeed is revealed through his own name. And Jesus is praying for his disciples and for the church. In John 17, and it says in verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name. So Jesus revealed the name of God, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What we find here is that Jesus for standing for the name of God. It's a name we should be standing for. And we should be holding to that name. Let's look in Revelation 2 verse 13. Revelation 2 verse 13. And we'll conclude on this verse. Revelation 2 verse 13. This is something we can take with us. We're people who stand for the name of God, which is Jehovah. And that's in His pure word. So we're standing for the pure word. That's why God has lifted up the pure word, lifted up His word, so it reveals His name, that His word is the important thing. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Notice that he commends them for holding fast his name. That's what we do. We stand for his name. We stand for the pure word. We stand for correct doctrine. We carry it forward with us. Let's close with prayer. Father God, we thank you for your revelation of truth to us, that the Holy Ghost is here present with us today, and that as we march forward, that we know that your name is the right name, the name of Jehovah, and we know that salvation is in the name of Jesus. We know that associated with believing in you is the strengthening that enables us to both overcome enemies, make them to flee, and also to convert even ruling people into the kingdom of God. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the power of the Word of God to accomplish these things so that even Australia can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in power. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.